Yo, team. Oh, well, Trickster loves those who skid in late, and that includes the human race. Our rogue species skidding in late with an extended arm from nature to rejoin the choreography of creation. Whoa! Through the ancient, wonderful, living, circular into spiral systems known as the zodiacal wheel, which is this beautiful map of what it is to be fully cultivated and fully participatory. So last week, in Liberating the Zodiac, we honored Aries, woof, 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 the spirited, confident woof that emerges from the kind of possibilities of everything of Pisces behind it and goes, rawr, woof, and we gathered our spirited, heroic self, and quests begin with questions. The hero or heroine always sets forth, often by a betrayal or some difficult kerfuffle that sets the thing in motion. This week, tonight, we honor Taurus as we go around, and we go, and how perfect that the moon tonight as we convene at 8 p.m. East Coast time is at 11 plus Scorpio, whose image is the Renaissance Council, the convening of the best and brightest, not by snootiness, but by dedication to collective well-being. And that is all of us, or wherever you happen to be at 8 p.m. East Coast time, but we would love to magnetize you because at a time like this, where everything is speaking to us, we say, the only news to trust is the mythic news. The world is on fire. Anything that's anywhere is everywhere. There's conflagration, drought. We know that as we prepare for the big shift of 2018, when Uranus, representing nature's evolutionary genius, moves into Taurus, the realm of living animism, of Gaia herself, and it's a quickening not just of humans may be the laggards, but of the spirit of Earth and all the flora and fauna themselves rising up, right? So we want to get ready for this participation, for everything that I've held dear, you know, for the longest time of democratic animism, a playful willingness to humbly cooperate with what we love in order to protect what we love. So more on that, we go, all right, so we do, you know, everything is speaking to us, right? We look at the what passes for news and we go, the Amtrak train covering the Republicans who defunded Amtrak for safety hit a garbage truck, killed a person, you know, on its way to a Republican gathering. The stock market drops 666 points the other day, followed today by a bigger drop. But it's as though the backstage gods, you know, and goddesses are going, how simple do we have to make it to the humans before they remember their symbolic literacy, that everything is speaking to us? So there's much on the work table, you know, before us, that because the stakes are high, you know, what is lost now in regard to wilderness is lost forever. So there's a lot of practical things we really want to do. But first, everything is cumulative. So from last week and the lunar eclipse of last August as well, all of it, and the mid-season known as Candlemas in the north and Lunasa in the south, all of these had to do with Leo and Aquarius, meaning the creative fire of individuals dedicated to group dynamic. And the councils that I love to convene really are like wolfotes, like the combination wolf-coyote, which is what if we had and contributed to a disciplined world wolf pack that encouraged and loved our unique wild coyote mad trickster selves? And we go, yeah, that's what we're going for. So so let's say the creative fire for the positive intrigue of protecting what we love is here now, and woof woof wanna playing right before us, as though the image of the divine, always shape-shifting, is like a large wolfote bowing down, looking each one of us in the eye, going, woof, woof, wanna play? We go, yes, we do. You know, so this Candlemas, this lunar eclipse, was the conjuring of community fire. We go, right, yes. And also, as we say backstage, and if it's not true, let's make it true. But it is here right now, and the stakes are high. And they require us dissolving the war on life, for starters, this relentless destruction, this removal of safeguards, this escalating of nuclear arms race for the first time in decades, the lifting of all constraints against drilling in wilderness, the lifting of safeguard, on and on and on. You know, we say, you know, what is a wealthy community traditionally? A wealthy community is one that protects its children, its environment, its elders, its storytellers. And by that measure, of course, we are completely insane that the current Dementors of Doom regime is not only not protecting, but slingshotting into vulnerability that which should be most protected. And we go, ha. Huh. So the stakes are high. They require that we dissolve the war on life for starters, that we avail ourselves of all of our skills, that we humbly partner with nature's guiding genius. And we turn to one of my favorite allies, ancestral allies, Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, who knew about such times of dedication. It was written about her that Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements. And we interject, nor do we. These cultural movements arising from the earth herself are moving, blowing across the globe. And it's our assignment to tap in. So Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed peoples into a community of reciprocal blessing from which arose cultural ecstasy. Now, the north node of the moon right now is, its Sabian symbol is Mardi Gras, again, pageantry, defiant joy, being fully informed but loving everything anyway. There we go. You know, and it's also this rising up. We want to know what's at stake. I encourage everyone to read, you know, crucial articles in The New Yorker by Elizabeth Colbert on the damage being done by Trump's Department of the Interior, because we got to know. We got to know. But here be also a little fragments of a manuscript of mine that just mysteriously surfaced, just like for all of us, with Jupiter in Scorpio, we are surrounded by hidden gifts. And I love, a friend of mine was asked what his definition of maturity was, and he said, to have access to all of our resources. We go, well, that's a pretty good start. And the zodiacal wheel, again, is a language eager to guide us to all of our resources in collective ways and in customized ways as well. So we are surrounded by gifts, and Jupiter in Scorpio says, right around your house, in your journals, you know, rummaging in files, looking over things, there's something wonderful that has been invisible that is rising up to re-enthuse each one of us, go, yeah, there we can go. So I had a manuscript surface from ancient archives going, wow, this is useful now. And it goes like this. The situation is so dire, we can't afford the luxury of realism. And against all odds are the odds that Trickster prefers. So we say, O spirit of the compassionate Trickster, inform our natures, fill us with agile ingenuity and wily compassion, and let us dig up the traps of those who would do harm and be on them, because that's what coyotes do. Wonderful, you know, forest cam captured coyotes jauntily trotting along, secretly hidden behind trappers laying traps. Coyotes, dum 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 dum. And as the trappers moved on, we see the coyotes digging up the traps, springing the traps with a stick, because they're so smart and good for the community too, and then peeing all over them just for attitudinal flourish. And we go, yes, like that. So it is so powerful now that it reminds us of the metaphor when a wild animal is rehabilitated, you know, when we bring it in its cage to the meadow abutting the forest and we open the door for it to go home. And it takes a while for the animal to leave for all the reasons we can imagine and more. You know, what are those humans going to do to me now? And then suddenly there's a moment, a whir of fur, and it's gone. Return to the wild. And many things happen in that moment. The wind shifts and the forest smells of moss waft towards the cage. The creature wants the forest and the forest wants the creature. Call and response. And so it is with us. The cage door is open, O gentle teammates, within whom wildness stirs. Whatever we want, wants us. And that's part of the dynamic of Taurus that we're going to be convening tonight, you know, as such a crucial thing of democratic animism. Whatever we love, loves us. Kierkegaard says, presume love in the other. You know, poignancy is kinship. So to think of all the flora and fauna, the plants and animals we love, because it is part of human responsibility and opportunity, possibly distinct to our species, aside from our rude manners, to borrow qualities of intelligence from the plants and animals with whom we share this beautiful home, you know, that we want to restore to its pristine stewardship. Against all odds, that's what we got to do, right? So whatever we love loves us, and democratic animism is that model, increasingly pertinent, increasingly alive and crucial, that we be able to form alliances and treaties with the living intelligence of nature all around us. I love Mary Oliver's poem in which she says, singing in praise, and she says, "I will sing for the two coyotes who came at me with their strong teeth, and then at the last moment began to smile." Right? So the whole world is like a coyote or a wolfote. Arr, ha, ha, ha. So we are dedicated to encouraging, quickening, and animating the compassionate trickster part of ourselves who devours petty intrigue so that we may fully participate in the grand intrigue of the transformation of culture. And we go, right, because the Leo-Aquarius dynamic, there's a shadow to everything as well as a guiding. There's a disaster against the stars that is remedied by considering. Con means with, and sitter is the stars. We gather to consider in council, to cultivate all these parts of ourselves that we may be ready and available for the greatest pleasure and the greatest pleasure and contribution to the world. So let's entertain the possibility that imaginative, compassionate, playful ingenuity is the force most needed and most effective at this time of dire beauty, where so much hangs in the balance. The forces of humorless greed are lumbering towards the abyss of planetary extinction, dragging the net of creation behind them. Fortunately, our trickster selves have scissors, right? Reach into your magic backpack, everybody. It's invisible, but it's right there. And pull out some scissors, beautiful scissors, grandmother's embroidery scissors, with which we cut the net, and thus freeing creation, and allowing the Dementors of Doom to plunge into the abyss to be transformed and redeemed in some later Buddhist cosmology, perhaps. So we see and feel the compassionate trickster wherever, against all odds, unexpected imaginative ingenuity achieves a more beautiful world. We do need a complete change of leadership, you know, onward to the tale of how Bodhisattva Coyote saved democracy and the world. That's really great. But also, you know, right now, you know, this powerful time, you know, of availing ourselves of that which is beautiful. So we say, coyotes have been known to follow hunters, dig up their traps, you know, turn them over. You know, we know that part. But it reminds us that all cultures have their trickster gods who steal fire from the regimes of humorless greed and rapacious cruelty in order to distribute it democratically. On this continent of America, it's the trickster god Coyote who steals thunder as well as fire. The indigenous soul within all of us knows that trickster is the necessary force when everything appears most bleak. Trickster is perpetually engaged in collaborative call and response with the forces of nature. The skills in his, her magic backpack include magical camouflage, a shape-shifting capacity for unexpected experimental intimacy. You know, and Trickster would invite us all to adopt the attitude of being in cavorting cahoots with everything. So here's to the wild blooming of our compassionate trickster hearts, stirring within, and the path opening for their full influence in the world, that we may grow a culture of reciprocal blessing. There we go. And so there's so much, you know, everything is alive. And again, all cultures have their qualities represented by mythological figures that they encourage or discourage their populace to cultivate, which is why now is so crucial for our trickster selves and trickster intelligence and this reverence that we see. Yeah, trickster would invite tyranny to ever greater pleasure. Right now, as we're convening, you know, and through the course of liberating the zodiac, I love the gerund liberating because we're setting it free, but we're also teasing forth that which is intrinsically liberating. We're aspired to set all things free that have accrued a kind of encrustation of superstitious dread or whatever, you know, all the way back to its original liberating spark as one of communion and cahooting. We go, yes. So right now, in the astro sky story, Venus is so close to the sun that we don't see her or him. Venus is Quetzalcoatl in Mesoamerica and Venus Inanna, all the goddesses in the West. But in any cosmology, Venus in the underworld, we don't see her getting ready to rise and return to the world, and we with her around February 20th, according to our latitude, when she will appear, you know, as the evening star of peace. How wonderful. There we go. Strange noises are going on all around me. Never mind that. Everything's alive here at Trickster headquarters. Everything is animated. Okay, so in the Mesoamerican model, it's Quetzalcoatl, and when he's in the underworld, the Mesoamerican culture would know, it is time to redefine leadership. Leadership has become corrupt, and we must redesign it, and that indeed is our assignment as well, going on in many, many councils, of which we're all in telepathic cahoots. In the Western mythology, Venus as Inanna or as Persephone or Proserpina for serpent woman, she descends a maiden, a puella, a girl, you know, and then sheds that skin, you know, is in costume change in the underworld and emerges an initiated queen. And that was the essence of the Eleusinian mysteries. Everyone, for over 400 years, everyone saw Proserpina, Persephone, emerge from being, you know, having descended a girl, emerging an initiated queen. So in many forms, both the masculine and the feminine, you know, power is getting ready to emerge, and we with her. We're all in the underworld in a costume change. What must we die to, lest we die from? You know, and whatever we've outgrown that we shed becomes, you know, encouraging compost, and whatever we've outgrown that we hold on to becomes demonic in our own personal lives or the culture. So we go shedding the skin, you know, and reinventing ourselves, you know, in this kinship. I love, you know, things that we'll be going over in the Taurus realm, but one of the principles is whatever has a name has a presiding intelligence or God associated with it. You know, whatever we can name. There's the intelligence or deity of the North Atlantic, of the Arctic Refuge, of Bear's Ears in Utah, all of which are under threat. But part of our strategic model is to become more like what we love in order to forge an alliance of reciprocal blessing and protection. So if we love wolves, become more like wolves. If we love Bear's Ears, Utah, become more like the intelligence of Bear's Ears. How shall we start these huge wonderings and questings as we set forth? You know, what does that mean to become more like a place of land? But it also means in our own intimate neighborhood, our house. Hello, house. Our house has a presiding deity. You know, our community has a presiding deity. And part of us as democratic animists, as compassionate tricksters, as wizards and alchemists wedded to our desire to improve the world, you know, dedicated to collective well-being, which is what the essence of political or social engagement originally wanted to be before it became corrupt. And so that idea of partnering with the invisible. And as we enter the Taurus realm, the realm of incarnational sensuality, where everything is pleasure. And Taurus says, why be born? Why bother? Because the Taurus glyph of the circle with the horns on top is not really a bull. It's the womb and the fallopian tubes coming into it. And it does pose that question. Why be born? Why does nature even create? Why bother? And Taurus says, for pleasure, for kinship, for the, you know, fur and the mangoes and the sensuality and the adventure of being here, but always, you know, related to the beautiful Scorpio opposite of the invisible, that the invisible backstage divine seeks incarnational invitation as much as we seek communion with it. So, Yes, democratic animism, the work of biomimicry, the great website, asknature.org. No matter what, put that on your toolbar. It was founded by E.O. Wilson and Janine Benyus, and you can go to that website, asknature.org, type in any conundrum, you know, any question, and it will bring you how nature solves that problem. You know, we are pattern-tracking beings. We have an intrinsic sense of joy and laughter and aesthetics and beauty. We know that dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world. So, we are off on our quest. You know, there's amazing things to know. We are to be humbled by nature's genius. Just to, you know, everything has meaning if we track it back originally. Let's just leave for the moment with the scarab blessing, the scarab, a large dung beetle in Egypt, you know, and beautifully carved into jewelry and so on. But there's the great article, it's from way back in, 2013, but it's a keeper. Dung beetles navigate via the Milky Way, the first known animal kingdom to talk about. Talk about star power. A new study shows that dung beetles navigate via the Milky Way. You know, the tiny insects can orient themselves to the bright stripe of light generated by our galaxy and move in a line relative to it, according to recent experiments in South Africa. This is a complicated navigational feat, and it's quite impressive for an animal that size, says study co-author, important scientist, biologist person. So that's really wonderful. You know, we bow in awe to the dung beetle. May we have that quality as well. May we, too, once again navigate by the Milky Way and the zodiac and the animal wisdom and as above, so below. So, yes, enticement, you know, good luck to all of us. I love the Amharic word, Aizan. You know, it's a blessing. It's one word that means, you know, support, encouragement, reciprocal blessing when everyone is setting forth on a dangerous but worthy journey. And so we go, Aizan. And perhaps see many of you tonight. Woof, woof.